The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday, October 3rd, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I just barely made it back into the studio in the past hour as well. I was out at the Better People Forum. You can see the, it's getting all washed out there on the screen, but I was at the Better People Forum, the 13th semi-annual educational forum on marijuana. Should it be legal? And it was supervised, moderated by the Honorable Jean Kerr Maurer. She's the supervisor of Multnomah County Drug Courts called START. I was on that panel, as well as Sergeant Chris Kanagi, the supervisor of the Drug Advice Task Force from the Portland Police Bureau, Michael Resnick, MD, the director of addiction psychiatry at Portland's VA Medical Center, and Amy Margolis, who is on the Oregon Dispensary Advisory Committee at the state of Oregon. Now, the bad news is the batteries died in the video recorder, so I do not have the entire panel, and I really, really wish I did. But I do have my presentation. I'm going to deliver that to you at the end of the show where we normally put the radical rant segment, so you'll get that whole presentation. And if you'd like to download a copy of that presentation for your own personal use, you can get it at our 420 Radio store. Remember, VIPs get discounts in the store as well. It's on sale right now for just $2, $1.99, just to help cover some of my costs here. You can download that for $1.99 for the rest of this week, and then the price goes up to $4.20. But remember, every download you make helps us pay the bills here at the Russ Belleville Show. Also on today's show, it is Thursday, so it's time for Cops Say Legalize Drugs, and we have got a former police lieutenant from the NYPD joining us. Joanne Naughton will be on the show at half past the hour. We'll ask her about the stop and frisk practices of the NYPD and whether or not that can ever be stopped without just legalizing marijuana. Also, in Behind the Headlines, we're going to take a look at the reforms that have happened here in the state of Oregon and a look forward to a new bill that was just dropped, an agricultural bill that might have some promise for those of us in the marijuana industry. So we'll tell you all about that in Behind the Headlines. Bago Schwago is going to call in. We're going to get a tune from him from Fluent Rhythm. They're going to be joining us with Light It Up, which sounds like a really, really good idea. But first, we got the 420 radio news coming up and some pretty sad tales in the headlines today. But there's always sad tales when we're living under prohibition. That's why we're here, to fight prohibition and return us to our hemp heritage. Thanks for joining us here at the Russ Belleville Show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the news is next. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting Independent Marijuana Legalization Public Radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, October 3rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Arkansas Attorney General rejects marijuana legalization ballot measure from Reason.com. Supporters of marijuana legalization in Arkansas can't even start to collect the nearly 80,000 signatures needed to get the question of legalization on the ballot after Arkansas's Attorney General, Democrat Dustin McDaniel, rejected a proposed ballot measure for a second time. A little more than a month ago, McDaniel rejected a ballot measure for medical marijuana legalization, the sixth time he has done so. Previous measures were rejected for ambiguity, including one where McDaniel wasn't sure the definition of marijuana was clear enough. The attorney general in Ohio also recently rejected a ballot measure on medical marijuana, saying he wasn't sure whether its summary was truthful. Washington and Colorado seek banking changes for marijuana from KOMONews.com. The governors of Washington and Colorado are asking the federal government for changes in banking regulations to allow marijuana-related banking, and the states continue implementing their voter-approved legal marijuana industries. In a letter sent Wednesday to federal banking regulators, Washington State Governor Jay Inslee and Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper wrote that access to the banking system by soon-to-be state-licensed businesses, quote, is a necessary component, end quote, to ensure a highly regulated system. The letter was sent to the chairman of the Federal Reserve, the Secretary of the Treasury, the chairman of the FDIC, the comptroller of the currency, the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and the chairman of the National Credit Union Administration. Public health goes after Seattle hookah bars from Seattle Post-Intelligencer. In 2005, Washington voters approved an initiative banning smoking in bars, restaurants, and any indoor public place. And while some have tried to get around the law by calling themselves private clubs, public health officials are taking action to shut those businesses down. Hookah smoking clubs have been trying to get around the indoor smoking ban by calling themselves and acting like, if not strictly being, private clubs. However, the Washington Supreme Court ruled in 2008 that smoking anything in a private club is illegal if that club has employees of any kind. Today, Public Health, Seattle and King County, says that that is not going to fly. The agency announced in a news release this morning that six hookah bars have been officially put on notice that they are violating the state's smoking ban. So far, at least one medical marijuana dispensary and a couple of bars have allowed indoor vaporizing of marijuana. Jim Church, communications director for the state's Department of Health, told us recently that, quote, yes, vaporizing is a bit of a gray area because you are not burning a substance being smoked, end quote. District attorney to seek death penalty in slayings of four during botched pot sale from KnoxNews.com. Prosecutors will seek the death penalty for the man accused of killing four people in an alleged robbery during a botched pot sale on Renegade Mountain in Cumberland County, Tennessee. Jacob Allen Bennett, age 26, entered a not guilty plea to four counts of premeditated murder, four counts of felony murder, and two counts of attempted aggravated robbery. Bennett was paroled in March from prison on charges that included vehicle theft. His criminal record dates back to age 12 in Florida. Shot while seated inside a Dodge Neon parked on a gravel road were Danielle Ricky Jacobson, age 22, her nephew Dominic Davis, age 17, Stephen Presley, age 17, and 16-year-old John Lejeunesse, all of Cumberland County. An estimated quarter pound of marijuana was recovered from the vehicle. Principal told Osborne Middle School student to strip to check for drugs. This from ABC15.com. An eighth grader at Osborne Middle School in Phoenix, Arizona, was asked to strip down to his gym shorts by two women, the principal and assistant principal, to check for drugs, his father says. An advanced placement math teacher, whom Daniel Thompson says has had issues with his son all year, allegedly complained of smelling pot, and sent Andrew to the principal's office. Once in the office, the female principal and assistant principal took him into a closed room and asked him to take off his shirt and cargo shorts, Thompson said. Superintendent Wilma Basquette denies Andrew was asked to take off his shirt. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, October 3rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the recent reforms to Oregon's marijuana laws and a new bill for agriculture that may end up helping pot farmers. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. Let him bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. .org presents Canna Truths with Denton Ramsey from Waco, Texas, every Thursday at noon Pacific, with replays Friday at 5 a.m., Sunday at 5 p.m., and Mondays at midnight, right here on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Check out our schedule at 420radio.org/schedule. But right now it's time for us to go behind the headlines. And today, actually last night, I saw a new bill come across the Oregon legislature's desk that really intrigued me. Before we talk about it, I wanted to give a little recap of what's going on with Oregon's marijuana reforms, which include less legal punishment and more medical access. The state of Oregon's legislature has passed some wide-ranging marijuana reforms, and they kind of quietly flew under the radar for most of the national media. In the next legislative session, the state may take on full legalization and enact sweeping protections not for just cannabis farmers, but all farmers. While Oregon was the first to decriminalize marijuana, making an ounce or less only a ticket, anything over an ounce used to be a felony. That changed when the legislature created a new misdemeanor charge for possession between an ounce and a quarter pound. The automatic suspension of driver's license that used to come with the pot ticket, whether you were driving or not, has been removed. And possession of up to a quarter ounce of hash or hash oil has also been driven down from felony to misdemeanor level. On the medical front, post-traumatic stress disorder was added as a qualifying condition for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, benefiting thousands of veterans and victims of trauma. The legislature also passed a law creating a medical marijuana dispensary system, something activists placed on the ballot twice as an initiative, failing both in 2004 and 2010. Those dispensaries should be operational in 2014. Now, this upcoming session promises many positive developments for marijuana reform. Complaints about the medical marijuana fee increases from the previous session have already been addressed in rulemaking, so that patients on disability return to their discounted $20 application fee. Now, the increase in fees from $100 to $200 for most patients still must be addressed. The program has always been self-funded, but now rulemakers are setting the fees for medical marijuana based on funding emergency medical services, drinking water programs, school health centers, family planning, midwifery, trauma systems, and the Seniors Farmers Market program too. Nothing against those programs, are all fine programs that deserve to be funded, but why should the sickest and most disabled Oregonians who choose to use the safest therapeutically active substance known to man be the ones who have to foot the bill for all those programs? The legislature is also under great pressure to craft a legalization bill, to either pass it themselves or to refer it to the voters as a referendum. The state's largest newspaper, the Oregonian, has twice warned the lawmakers that if they don't pass a sensible legalization law, marijuana activists are likely to pass something less restrictive in 2014 or 2016. Statewide polling shows the support for legalization at 57% across Oregon. And this leads me to the latest bill, another bill of interest that was just enrolled that could be of great importance to marijuana growers, and yet it doesn't have cannabis or marijuana in it at all. This is a Seed Protection Act, one of these anti-GMO, anti-Monsanto types of laws, and the bill would prohibit, quote, local laws or measures to regulate agricultural seed, flower seed, nursery seed, and vegetable seed, or their products. Now, that sounds like a protection for every home grower and every medical marijuana dispensary from any local restrictions and municipal bans that have plagued towns in California, Washington, Colorado, and Michigan. So check out that bill, the Seed Protection Act, protecting all seeds and the products from those seeds. It sounds to me as if once this passes, if it does pass, in conjunction with the dispensary bill and our medical marijuana law, the state is going to have to come up with some guidelines and regulations for home growing, for the quality of the product, and so forth, and that none of the cities or counties will be able to set up their own local regulations or bans. This is fantastic news for the recreational market, fantastic news for the medical market, in that we will be able to have safe access to our cannabis without restrictions popping up because one particular town is conservative, one particular county has a board of aldermen that doesn't like it. We don't have aldermen out here. What do you have? Commissioners. A board of commissioners that doesn't like it. Or if there just happens to be a county sheriff, like in Washington County or Jackson County, that doesn't particularly like marijuana. So it's interesting the kind of alliances that we are building here in the marijuana movement and how our issue expands to cover so many different areas of lawmaking and rulemaking, from farming to banking to criminal justice to healthcare and more. All right, that sound, you all know, means it's time for us to take a break and enjoy the bounties of our harvests. If you have any bounty. If you don't have any bounty, well, I feel bad for you. I'll smoke for you, I guess.
Oh, have you ever met that
Fagos Raggos here when we come back for our daily toker tune. Stick around.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
No Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh. I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tune.
Time for some Groovin' Thursday music. We got Bago Schwago on the line from Arizona. How you doing? Oh, got to turn you off mute. There we go. Let's try that again. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, better now that I know what button to push.
That's good. That law in Oregon, that sounds like a great thing if those two things happen at the same time.
Yeah. Protection for all seeds from any local ordinance. That's amazing.
That's such a big blanket. That's such a great blanket. I like that blanket. That's
it was
blanket
interesting,
I can get
too.
Under.
I was reading up on the article about it, and the writer was writing about all these unintended consequences they worried about, like, a place couldn't have a local ordinance on tobacco because tobacco is the result, is the product of a seed, right? So it's going to be interesting what this might all cover.
Well, you're going to make me even more jealous to want to move up there to that part of the country if that both of those end up passing there and you don't know what to do with it. So.
Well, not as we get into December and January. I really could use some sunshine, and I know Arizona's got plenty of that. Hey, we got Groovin' Thursday today. Put us in a good mood. I got the picture of the fella up here, Fluent Rhythm. He's got an Orange County Normal shirt on, so I like him already. Tell us about him.
Well, actually, this gentleman, he was on the show, I probably have him on a few months ago. He was under the name Beaster, and he did that song, Smoke It All Away.
Yeah.
And he resubmitted this song. He's changed his name since then. He goes under the name Fluent Rhythm. But I had to give that picture because he's got the Normal shirt. We had him on. He's a very big supporter of Normal. And he just sent this song on, and it's called Light It Up. It's got a good beat. You can find out about him on Twitter under Fluent Rhythm and Beaster. You can look him up on Facebook. And he's just a big supporter and sent in music, and we love submissions, so I thought I'd put it on.
That's right, folks. If you got music that you want to get heard on 420 Radio, you can go to our contact page at 420radio.org/contact. There's a drop-down list. Just pick, you know, I want to submit a song, I think is the link, and you can get us the information. We'll be glad to play the music. You can even call in and talk about your band and your album and your tour and all that kind of stuff. And don't forget, now, the Daily Toker Tunes have their own podcast feeds, one for each day, at 420radio.org/shows/day/feed. And all you got to plug in is Mun, To, Wed, Thoo, or Fry for the day. Instructions are up on the web. Check them all out. Available to VIPs only. This is Fluent Rhythm.
Ghost House.
Light It Up.
This is what it's about right here.
Light it up. Okay, now light it up. Light it up. All right, now light it up. Light it up, spark it up and light it up and pass it around. Okay, now light it up. All right, now light it up. Spark it up and light it up. Light it up. Okay, now light it up and pass it around. All right, okay, we gonna smoke some Bombay. Token session, yeah, cause you know we ripping it my way. Hell yeah, my lungs can take it. Hot box, I'm elevated and I'm staying. My tree's from Cali, so I'm hella baking. Smoke out of crazy things. What's up, you know my bling. We running glass on glass with dank screens. Never thought to see. Z-O, went to the G, burning top shelf greens. Call me royalty. Got the crisp pack tight, better pass the light. Wanna see my life, but look on the screen. Nice things to me was always something like a dream. I fly by so high, think I might blaze up with the sour D. We wake and bake with vapors and skywalk kinda like Darth Vader. And smoke all from rolling papers. And hell yeah, you know I'm tailored. But realistically, there's something new to see. Waving from paper planes, so far high up, that's me. Roll that paper every single time it's an epiphany. Waking, baking, smoking circles, fattest joints you've ever seen. Light it up, okay now light it up. Light it up, alright now light it up. Light it up, spark it up and light it up and pass it around. Okay now light it up, alright now light it up. Light it up, spark it up and light it up. Light it up, get it up now, light it up and pass it around.
Give me the weed, I light it up. Looking at me, I'm high as fuck. Getting a meat, my eyes are shut. Hitting them trees, I'm fired up. Smoking up there, don't care what I put in the air. So rare, no fair. I take it everywhere, I wear it the smell. And yes, you can tell, cause I wear it somewhere. Most guys I see, funny. Yo, they try to be stunning, but they like to be funny. I'm in society, flooded. No bullshit, I'm all about the music. And two with the cushions, the truth is I gotta get high. Cool about the losing, you're foolish. The proof is a good look into my red eye.
Light it up. Okay, now light it up. Light it up. All right, now light it up. Light it up. Spark it up and light it up and pass it around. Okay, now light it up. All right, now light it up. Light it up. Spark it up and light it up. Light it up. Get it up, now light it up and pass it around.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
420radio.org presents Drug Truth Network with Dean Becker, featuring the Century of Lies and Cultural Baggage shows. Every Monday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Time, with replays Tuesday at 11 a.m., Wednesdays at 4 a.m., and Saturdays at 6 a.m., right here on 420radio.org.
Drug War.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour, and joining us by telephone, we have Joanne Naughton from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and I was looking at your bio earlier. It says that you're a retired lieutenant from New York City. Now, would that be the NYPD you retired from?
It certainly is.
All right. Well, there's been a lot of news about the NYPD with respect to the whole stop and frisk program and Commissioner Kelly telling him to knock it off, and then it continued going on. Can you give us some perspective on this whole stop and frisk and what it's going to take to reform that?
Well, it sounds as if Commissioner Kelly told the police officers to knock it off and that they disregarded him. I have to tell you, and I can't say it strongly enough, police departments are hierarchical organizations, and the tail doesn't wag the dog. Police officers are not stopping and frisking people in tremendous numbers without the police commissioner and the mayor wanting them to do it. They're not doing it on their own. It's not like television. Police officers do not countermand the police commissioner's wishes. The police commissioner is the one who's responsible for the illegal stops and frisks. The police commissioner along with the mayor. The mayor has made it clear that regardless of the fact that police officers have been violating constitutional rights, and we see that a federal judge has found that in a trial that they just had recently, despite that fact, the mayor has said that he supports the police officers conducting the stops and frisks as they have been doing it, illegally. I assure you, I work in undercover as well. I worked in the narcotics division, and I worked on patrol in uniform. And police officers don't go out there and willy-nilly do what they feel like doing, despite a police commissioner telling them not to. Absolutely not. They have been stopping people, especially in poorer neighborhoods where drug sales, drug usage is all out on the street. They've been stopping people in violation of Terry v. Ohio, which is the law that the Supreme Court case that sets out the parameters for stops and frisks. They've been violating that law, routinely violating it. The police commissioner has been aware of it. The mayor is aware of it, but they don't care. They think that the public likes it, not the public who's being stopped and frisked, or whose kids are being stopped, not that public. They're not too concerned about that public. But they're doing it and continue to do it because the police commissioner wants it done and because the mayor wants it done.
You make it sound as if the only possible fix for this is a change at the top.
Absolutely.
Now,
the police commissioner has been in office, I didn't mean to interrupt you, for too long, and so has the mayor.
And that brings us to, you know, the recent primaries that concluded in New York City, and there was a story that we found on the Weed blog about the Democrat, Bill de Blasio, the Republican, Joseph Lota, and the Independent, Adolfo Carrion Jr. All three support reforms to cannabis laws, so perhaps in the next mayoral administration we get some better results on this stop and frisk?
They may support changes in the cannabis law, but I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe Mr. de Blasio is the only one who supports a change in stop and frisk. However, you're right, it's up to the legislature to change the law. a new mayor, whoever he is, and whatever his policy is also, has an obligation to tell the police commissioner that police officers have to obey the law. look at the money that it costs. So a change in policy about cannabis probably would make a change, but that's not what it should take. Police can't be violating the law, should not be violating the law, and police commissioners should not be asking them to do it, and mayors should not be asking them to do it with impunity.
Yeah.
It's the cops who take the rap.
Yeah, what a novel concept that our police officers ought to follow the law. That's amazing. And with that, in regards to that, in our chat room I'm watching, and one of our listeners, our live listeners there, just remarked, well, isn't that insubordination to the commissioner? But as far as I know, insubordination is not a crime. So, I mean, how would they ever punish that?
By firing him.
Ah, and that's not going to happen.
And don't think that, well, it does happen. That's what I'm saying. The police department is extremely hierarchical. And if some police officer, I mean, I chuckle at the thought of it, decides that he doesn't want to follow a rule, it's not television. He gets fired. That's what happens to him.
Right.
Fired. Police officers do not, insubordination is not tolerated. And believe me, I know, because I also worked in the office that prosecuted administrative charges against cops, because I'm also a lawyer. So I know, you don't, there's no such thing as insubordination. That's not tolerated. It may not be a crime, but you get fired. If you decide that you're not going to follow the rules, if you're going to disobey, cops don't have a personal interest in whether drugs are legal or illegal. Hmm. There's nothing personal about it.
Yeah.
But if they don't make enough stops, they'll lose their command. They may get transferred. If they're in a special detail, they'll lose that. That's why they do it.
Well, it seems to me that a lot of this, you know, we can trace a lot of this back to the Giuliani administration and that that social theory of broken windows. The idea that if you police the little crimes of vandalism and broken windows and vagrancy and stuff like that, pot smoking, then that creates a lawful neighborhood where people are less likely to commit greater crimes. Can you speak to that? And do you think, I mean, if you listen to these guys, you'd think that if we legalized marijuana, suddenly crime would run rampant in New York City.
I think it's the other way around. If we keep marijuana and all other drugs, because at LEAP we argue that all drugs, including marijuana, should be legal, it's keeping these substances illegal that has crime running rampant, if it is. Keeping these substances illegal is what brings about a great deal of the violence. People who in the drug trade, who have a dispute with somebody, they don't go to court. They don't sue somebody. That's what courts are for, to handle disputes, but not when you're in a business that's illegal. That's where the violence comes from. They settled their disputes with violence. Organized crime settles their disputes with violence. And today's organized crime, again, is not like television or the movies. And the people who are in the drug trade business, the cartels, that's organized crime. They use violence. If we legalized all of these substances and regulate them, you will see an end to the violence. There's no need for violence when substances are legal. If I can buy heroin or cocaine or marijuana or meth or any of that stuff, if I can buy it legally in a regulated fashion, regulated, and taxed too, I might add, I'm not going to be on the street. I'm not going to be buying this stuff on the street, and I'm not going to be buying it from illegal dealers. We don't buy our alcohol today from organized crime. And you don't see liquor store dealers shooting it out on the street for turf. that stuff is regulated. And there are people who cannot drink alcohol without becoming addicted. That's a problem. It's a substance that's problematical for a lot of people. But we have legalized it. We have regulated it. And we tax it. And that's what we have to do with the other stuff. The frightening people and telling them that crime will increase, crime will become rampant if we legalize these things. Experience, particularly in other countries, shows this is not true. Switzerland has decriminalized all substances years ago, over 10 years ago. They're not going back. They like the fact that they have less crime and fewer health problems as well, and they're not going back. Portugal, we've read a lot about Portugal, the same thing. They're not going back. They're not going to say, well, we made a mistake and we're going to criminalize everything again. No, they were brave enough to try, and the experiments have worked. Decriminalizing is not enough, however, because you still will have a criminal element. We've got to legalize all of these substances. What's wrong with Americans making their own decisions about these things?
Well,
and people are afraid, well, kids will be able to get them. Kids can get whatever they want now, whatever they want now. And no one says to a kid, show me, prove to me that you're old enough. Kids don't get carded on the street. It will make it much more difficult for kids to get any of this stuff once it's legalized and regulated and taxed.
Well put. And Joanne Naughton was a 20-year member of the New York Police Department, from police officer to lieutenant, doing undercover street buys. And then you worked as an attorney on the defendant side. So you've got an amazing perspective. And we really appreciate you being a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition and coming on our show here to give people some of that wisdom. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We'll speak to you again, I'm sure, at another time. We've got plenty to talk about.
Okay, good. I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Joanne, so much. And when we come back, we're going to have time for the Radical Rant, although we're not really doing a rant so much today. I'm going to do my presentation that I gave at the Better People Forum this afternoon. We tried videotaping it, but the batteries ran out. So I will just do the presentation for you live. It's also available for download. It's got full notes and script and everything. You can download it for just $2, $1.99 from the 420radio.org shop. Be great for your next normal meeting or activist presentation. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more.
I helped murder families in Colombia.
It was just innocent fun.
I helped kidnap people's dads.
Hey, some harmless fun.
I help kids learn how to kill.
I was just having some fun, you know. I helped kill policemen.
I was just having fun.
I helped the bomber get a fake passport.
All the kids do it.
I helped kill a judge.
I helped blow up buildings.
My life. My body.
It's not like I was hurting anybody else.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me to present at the Better People Educational Forum entitled Marijuana, Should It Be Legal? In the interest of full disclosure, I should inform you that I own and operate 420radio.org, a 24-hour marijuana legalization talk radio network, and I am a proud daily cannabis consumer. So, I have quite a personal vested interest in legalization. From my perspective, it's not a question of whether cannabis should remain legal. It's whether I should be treated like a criminal for choosing a substance safer than a Portland microbrew or a Willamette Valley Pinot Grigio. Fortunately, a majority of my fellow citizens now agree with me that marijuana should be made legal, and in this presentation, I'll show you why you should want it legalized too. No law in America is so widely disregarded and so severely punished as marijuana prohibition. More than 16 million voting-age adults will use cannabis this month. That's 6.9% of the population. And in Oregon, 11.9% of the population, over a half million people, use cannabis monthly. What are they all doing that is so much more dangerous than drinking? This legislative session, we made some much-needed reforms to Oregon's marijuana laws, but we're just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic of the drug war. It's good we have Decrim, a ticket, for less than an ounce, but that still means cannabis is contraband, requiring police to spend time looking for it. It's good we lowered penalties for more than an ounce, but that still means over 15,000 marijuana arrests police waste time and money on. It's good we're expanding medical marijuana, but that still means some people who aren't sick will try to abuse the system, and patients are victimized by black market prices and thefts, as my patient was just this last weekend. We are literally spending billions of dollars trying to stop marijuana use and leaving billions more in tax revenue on the table because we mistakenly believe we must treat pot smokers more harshly than beer drinkers. For the $1 trillion we've spent on the drug war, we've gotten cheaper, more potent cannabis, twice the teenage users, even though we've quintupled the amount of cannabis that we've seized from the black market. Now, nobody who supports marijuana legalization wants teens using cannabis for non-medical reasons, just as we don't want teens drinking and smoking. If you were a high school senior in the late 1970s, 93% of your class had tried alcohol, and 75% had tried cigarettes. For seniors today, those figures are 69% for drinking and 39% for smoking. Both drugs are legal, advertised, and much more addictive than cannabis. How did we get almost a quarter of high school seniors to not drink and more than a third of high school seniors to not smoke? And how many adult drinkers and smokers did we have to raid, arrest, and imprison to pull this off? These lines are the high school seniors who drank, smoked, and used cannabis from 1975 to 2012, measured by the Monitoring the Future survey. This beer yellow line is alcohol. The smoke gray line is tobacco. And the sticky green line is marijuana. Here's where those stats were when I graduated high school in 1985, where more than 9 out of 10 of my cohorts drank, almost 7 out of 10 smoked, and more than half tried marijuana. Although I wasn't among them, I didn't try it till I was 22. Here's where those figures are for my niece, who just graduated high school. Only 7 in 10 drink, only 4 in 10 smoke, and 45% have tried marijuana. Now, what changed? Well, in 1987, President Reagan blackmailed the states to adopt a nationwide 21 drinking age, and from that point on, we see drinking plummet. In 1998, Big Tobacco was sued and agreed to stop advertising to kids using Joe Camel and at sporting events. And from that point on, we see teenage smoking plummet. Now, with marijuana, in 1980, Nancy Reagan just said no, but marijuana arrests actually decreased during the Reagan-Bush years. When cannabis use hit its modern low in 1992, Bill Clinton's administration doubled marijuana arrests, and we saw use shoot up. In 1996, California began regulating medical marijuana, and from that point, marijuana use has declined or remained steady. Some people may worry that legalization of marijuana may impact traffic safety. However, the rates of accidents, injuries, and deaths on the roads have all been in decline since the 1990s, even as marijuana use has increased. Much of this is due to seatbelt laws, safer cars, and increased drunk driving patrols, but even states like Oregon, with tens of thousands of medical marijuana patients on the roads, are recording some of their best traffic safety stats ever. Besides, legalizing marijuana doesn't legalize stoned driving. Any cop who could arrest a stoned driver today will still be able to arrest a stoned driver tomorrow. Washington State recently passed marijuana legalization with a THC limit for drivers set at 5 nanograms per milliliter. Thanks to marijuana being legal, news reporters in Seattle were able to set up a driving test course and film 3 pot smokers getting high and then immediately getting behind the wheel. As you watch this video, try to imagine testing a driver who had just been drinking at the same over-the-limit levels that this young lady named Addie attained.
Our first volunteer, Addie, is a 27-year-old medical marijuana patient and heavy daily user who had smoked some pot prior to arriving. A blood test before our experiment began showed she came to the track already 3 times the new legal limit for driving under the influence of marijuana. The limit is 5 nanograms. She was at nearly 16 nanograms. While learning the course, Addie turned too sharp at a stop sign and clipped one of our cameras. But the instructor told us her driving was actually fine.
So Addie was at 3 times the legal Washington THC limit and drove just fine. Can you picture a driver with a 0.24 blood alcohol doing the same? Now she gets behind the wheel after some more marijuana smoking.
Back behind the wheel for another lap, Addie drove a bit slower than she should and at one point struck a traffic cone.
Oh, I hit a cone. I see it in the rearview mirror. Ah!
A blood test would later show Addie was driving at 7 times the legal limit for pot with 36.7 nanograms of marijuana in her system, but still driving okay.
I wouldn't pull her off the road, though. No, not yet. Not this
okay.
Not only was Addie still driving fine at 7 times the legal limit, imagine a 0.56 blood alcohol. The other 2 less frequent pot smokers the news crew tested were driving fine at 4 times the limit. Now, Addie gets behind the wheel at 11 times the legal limit. Try and imagine a 0.88 BAC.
becoming much more aggressive, excited about being high and behind the wheel.
One time in your life you get to do this, you should do it.
Yeah.
You should do it!
But she made no major mistakes, and we asked the officer if he would pull her over.
Borderline.
Others may worry that legalizing marijuana will increase crime. By definition, legalization suddenly means 26 million Americans aren't criminals, and all their market transactions can be handled through licensing, regulation, lawsuits, and courts. Prohibition creates the crime just as it did in Al Capone's day. After all, we don't see Portland microbreweries shooting up the streets over turf wars. We don't have winemakers planting secret vineyards in our national forests. We don't have violent home invasions over home beer brewing. And we don't have cigarette smokers stealing to afford their addiction. Right now, police make an arrest in less than half of all violent crimes and less than one-fifth of all property crimes. There were more arrests for mere marijuana possession in America than all violent crimes combined. And each arrest is taking a cop off the streets for 2 hours and increasing the crime lab backlog for testing rape kits and evidence of real crime. And when those arrested for marijuana can't find a job or get an education thanks to their criminal record, some of them turn to a life of crime as the only way to make a living. There are many scaremongering misconceptions about how cannabis affects public health. Our National Institutes of Medicine debunked the so-called gateway drug myth, finding that most people who try marijuana don't even go on to use more marijuana, much less other drugs. After 30 years' research, the leading scientists seeking a link between pot smoking and lung cancer concluded in 2006 that pot smokers had less incidence of head, neck, and lung cancer than non-smokers do, and no greater incidence of lung disease. The Netherlands and Portugal have shown us that liberalizing marijuana laws doesn't lead to more pot smokers. In fact, their marijuana and drug use rates are much lower than the United States. Fears that marijuana taxation wouldn't begin to pay the marijuana bills, as is true with alcohol and tobacco, don't hold up when you realize a pot smoker costs society 1/8 that of a drinker and 1/40 that of a smoker. And the list of marijuana smokers who've gone on to achieve greatness is too long to recount here. So let's just say Michael Phelps and move on. And what about workplaces? In its most recent report, Oregon's Occupational Health and Safety Administration published the lowest figures for workplace fatalities, injuries, illnesses, and absenteeism ever recorded, even as we enrolled more than 55,000 medical marijuana patients. Workplace drug testing and bans on use will still be in effect. And jobs created through legalization and revenue captured from taxing a popular untaxed crop will revitalize Oregon's economy. With Washington and Colorado leading the way and the Justice Department recently allowing them to move forward with legalization, there is no good reason to continue treating Oregon's 550,000 cannabis consumers as criminals. Majorities nationwide now agree with legalization, and the support is greatest in the West. Our conservative-leaning editorial board at the Oregonian has twice called on the legislature to craft a responsible marijuana legalization plan, worried that marijuana activists will pass a more liberal legalization via initiative petition. And as marijuana stores open up in 2014 just across the river, we will watch helplessly as Vancouver gladly rakes in all our Portland marijuana tax revenue. Thank you for your attention. I'm Radical Russ Belville from 420radio.org. And you can find me everywhere online at Radical Russ. I look forward to your questions and opinions. Well, there you have it. My presentation at the Better People Forum this afternoon. I'm so sorry I didn't get the whole thing filmed for you. I forgot to bring the extra batteries, so my bad on that one. Because some of the stuff the rest of the panelists had to say, OMG. Let me tell you, I was on this panel with a sergeant who works in narcotics and vice, police sergeant, a director of addiction psychiatry at the VA hospital, and I didn't get a chance to debunk everything they said, so we're going to do it in hour two. Stick around for that. Plus, I got a bonus radical rant for you on California's hemp bill. For everyone here at 420radio.org, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you